What does beginning mean? Sam Young, what does beginning mean? Yep, it means the start. That's a good one. That's a good one. One definition is the point in time or space when something begins, or if we get rid of that same root word, when something starts. Yeah. Now, I want some help. I want you to tell me this is the beginning or the end, all right? So, boys and girls, what do you think this is? Oops, this is nothing. Okay. Beginning or the end? Is this the beginning or end?
Good team.
They had happier days than last night. That's the team Juventus, when they had beaten Real Madrid, they were so happy that they were going to the finals of the Champions League. But if you watched anything last night, I didn't. I promised you I would go to bed. It started at 2:45 a.m. Hong Kong. So if you've watched it, you know that Barcelona beat Juventus. But that's what a football match looks like at the end, when people go around, they applaud, say, hey, thank you for watching us, and they're happy and they're jumping around. But what is this, the end or the beginning? That's the beginning, right? So when you start a football match proper, you get in the center, you have a ball, and then Iniesta needs to kick it forward to Messi, or Messi kicks it forward to Iniesta, and then they go and beat Madrid. Okay. Is this the end or beginning of a tennis match? End, yeah. Did anybody watch tennis last night? A few of us? Okay, I watched it, yeah. And Serena Williams won the women's final. Tonight's the men's final. But at the end, they have a trophy presentation, right? Now, what's the beginning of a tennis match look like? Does anybody remember? Isabel, what do they do? They do what? They play tennis. But before you start, you have to do something around the net. What do? Flip a coin. But I don't see this guy flipping a coin yet, but he's got it in his hands. The umpire comes out, and he flips a coin. He says, who will serve first, and which side do you want? They do that in the football match, too, actually, before they go. Yeah, they flip a coin. You don't see that too much. They're running commercials. You don't get to see that. Talk to your dad about it. I think I'm telling you the truth. She's got a real quizzical look on her face. Really? Yeah. So this is the beginning of a tennis match. Okay. Now, the Bible talks about different beginnings, and perhaps the number one, this one. In the beginning was the creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John, in his gospel, even amplifies that a little bit. And he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. That was the beginning, the big beginning. Another beginning that Scripture talks about is the fear of the Lord. Did I hear David pray that, or somebody say that earlier today? I can't remember. But anyway, the fear of the Lord, I think it was Pete in prayer earlier before the service, was talking about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's not K3 or K1, whatever, K1, 2, 3, is that what it works? Okay. It's not K1, and it's certainly not Yale, Stanford, or Harvard. Oxford, Cambridge, wherever you want to go, Hong Kong U, Chinese University. That's not the beginning, because we can learn about all kinds of things, but real wisdom and real knowledge is when we put God in perspective and we revere him. We honor him. So the fear of the Lord is talked about as being a beginning. What do you think this picture is of, boys and girls? A baptism. Who's being baptized? Jesus. Who's baptizing Jesus? John the Baptist. And that's where he got his name, you know. He was very famous about baptizing. And you might remember in the scriptures when there's someone says something, God said something about this. You remember what he said? This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Now, wouldn't it be cool if when we were doing the baptism today, we heard God say something? That would be magnificent. But Jesus is Jesus. He's the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ. He's the one that created the world. He's the one who was born of a Virgin Mary. And now he's getting ready to do what? He's getting ready to do ministry. And this is the beginning of his ministry. Now, this painting is a traditional painting. And sometimes it loses the collectiveness. I think this is a more accurate picture of what it looked like. We could argue about the amount of water, but what do you see around Jesus? People. And when John the Baptist was going to baptize people, it wasn't like there was just one or two down by the river. No, all of Judea and all of Jerusalem were experiencing this repentance. And they came and said, yes, we have not been following the living God, and now we're turning around and we're ready for him. And yes, and he's ready for who? The Messiah. The living God has come. And that's why John said, no, I can't baptize you. I'm not worthy. He said, Jesus says, you got to do it. This is what my Father wants. And when it's done and said and everything's over, God says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. All those crowds, are they hearing it? I think so. The Messiah has come and his mission has begun. Baptism was a beginning for Jesus. And he went immediately from there to Capernaum and started his ministry in Galilee. His ministry of declaring, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He started healing and casting out demons and showing that his gospel is a gospel of power. His deliverance. He is the Son of God. Well, why do we get baptized today? Why is Ariana and Sam and Yoko and Leanne getting baptized today? Are they going to start a new ministry like Jesus? In a way, yeah. Certain way, they've already have. But basically, we're commanded by Jesus. Jesus, who didn't need a baptism, he went through it. He commands us to be baptized. You guys want to try to read one all together? And when we get to the white word, you see what the white word says? Can anybody say that? Baptizing? Can you do that? Baptizing? Okay, I'll read the yellow bit, but when we get to the white word, I'd like you to say baptizing. All right? Now, there's a couple of ways you can say baptizing. Baptizing. That's one way. Baptizing! Is another way. That'll wake you up, right? No sleeping, right? I know a lot of us aren't getting enough sleep these days, but okay. Baptizing. I want you to shout it out, okay? Boys and girls, you with me on this? Okay, moms and dads, give a good shout, okay? We're talking about why do we baptize people today like our dear friends? Why are we doing it? Because Jesus commanded. Then Jesus came to them and said, this is after he has been crucified, resurrected from the dead, and he's appeared to them on the mount. And before he ascends to heaven, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And one of those commands is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them. It's a command. Here's some biblical examples of baptism. Well, first one was found in Acts 2 in Jerusalem. Over 3,000 people. Man. I've heard of some large large baptism doesn't sound right. A lot of people being baptized in China, and when that happened, it went like all morning, from 10 in the morning to 10 at night. I mean, thousands of people being baptized, and 20-some-odd pastors baptizing. That's a big baptismal service. That's a large one, right? But 3,000 people, you figure if you do one a minute, 3,000 minutes is how many hours? Math max. As Alex Gu here, he's really good at math. Anybody figure that one out? So that's a lot of time. 3,000 people. They're going to take more than 1 minute. But what, you're 60 minutes into 3,000? That's, what am I getting, 500 hours? Maybe they all went down at the same time. I don't know. Okay, 3,000 people were baptized in one day in Acts 2. My clicker here is a little slow. The Ethiopian eunuch, he was traveling along, and then Philip comes up and he says, "What's preventing me from being baptized? I believe," and he was baptized. Another guy you might remember is Saul and his baptism and how that took place in Acts 9. And then we have households. Cornelius, Lydia, the Philippian jailer, we're not given his name, Crispus, their households. And so, like, you know, who lives in your household, boys and girls? You think, well, there's mom and dad, and then there's our helper. And back in those days, there were more than just one helper. They may be three or four helpers and their families, and everybody's together. And so when the Cornelius, Lydia, and the Philippian jailer and Crispus, their whole households were baptized, young and old. But one thing they have all in common, this thing's sensitive. There we go. Baptism was their first step of faith. Now, where did we change where you got to get ready before you get baptized? What do you mean, get ready? You got to buy some new clothes? Got to wait till it feels good? You got to wait to where your testimony is so brilliant that they want to almost make you a saint. How do you know when you're ready? If you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, and that good love has come and touched you in such a way you can no longer live for self, but you want to follow Him and let Him have His way as your Lord and Savior, you're ready. It's the first step of faith. And that's the major thing I check out when I talk with people. Do they understand what Christ did for them on the cross? Ariana and Sam are young, but you understand that. Now, you've got a lot to experience between now and adulthood. When you go through teens, you're going to have a lot of guys pressuring you not to do Jesus stuff. All right? But adults, Yoko and Leanne, You're tempted as well. But the first step is Jesus died for me. I believe that, and I'm going to follow Him. And by His grace, I'm going to live for Him. If you believe that, you're ready. So I don't know if some of you out there have not been baptized yet, and you wonder, well, you know, I don't witness that well. I don't pray enough. I don't do this and this and that enough. Well, that's true, and neither do anybody here. When you use the standard of God, the Holy One. Jesus was the only obedient Son of God. And what did He do? He died for you and I. When? While we were yet sinners, He became sin so that you and I can become daughter, Son of God. Through faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, according to Scriptures alone, and for God's glory alone. Okay. And this is for moms and dads, for adults. I just want to, I'm not going through the whole teaching about baptism, but this is a good definition. Christian baptism is a sign from God that signifies inward cleansing and removal of sins. That's that spiritual washing. Remember, water is all about cleaning. It's nurturing. We can't live without water. But it also serves a purpose to get the germs and clean us up. But Holy Spirit cleaning. Cleaning our hearts, making our hearts tender to God and loving of other people and not just lovers of self. Holy Spirit, a creation of new life, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit is God's seal, testifying and guaranteeing that one will be kept safe in Christ forever. Now, the water baptism that our friends will go through today, what you have gone through or will do, it doesn't save. Water doesn't save you. But faith in Christ's work saves you. And nothing can separate you from Christ. Nothing. Baptism signifies union with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. And that's from Romans and Colossians. And that's why many of us here, our practice at TBICC is baptism by immersion. You go under the water and then you come up. We don't want water to go up our nose or anything, right? But that's what it's symbolizing, right? And now I'm a new life in Christ. Okay, baptism defined. Baptism, in short, boys and girls, what that big paragraph said, it's an outward sign that new life in Christ has begun. There's been a beginning. It's not happening at that moment, the water. It's already begun. And so what we're saying, this is real. This is what's happened in my heart already. And so now I get baptized. Application. Well, baptism should be one of our first steps of faith. It's not an option. Those of you who are students of the Bible, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I think I saw Francis say obey, right? You obey my commandments. One way we love Christ is just obedience. And that's why we go through baptism, to show we love him and we obey his commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, Christ has given us two sacred practices in the church. There are many things we do as a church. We sing together, we praise together, we listen to God's word together, we pray for other people and the world together. We serve our community together, trying to be a help in the neighborhood, as individuals and as families, helping other families and helping other friends in needs. We do all kinds of things, but two things are given to the church to do for all generations, and that's baptism and communion. They were commanded by Christ, and they're to be our sacred practices. And sometimes we get the word sacrament from that. Sometimes we use the word ordinance or the ordinary, that which marks us out as a special religious club, if you will, are these two signs of a real thing that goes on in the heart. That's baptism and communion. So in both, we celebrate our union with God through faith in Christ, made possible by the work of the Holy Spirit in our heart. I don't know how this happened, and this is an in-house thing. So those of you who are visitors, just bear with me just a minute. If you're ready, if you feel you're ready in your heart, in just a minute we're going to open up this table, and you eat the bread and drink from the cup, you're confessing that, yes, I agree with everyone else here that I'm a sinner, that Jesus died for me, and his bodily sacrifice, his shed blood, is all that makes me a friend of God. I'm not counting on anything else, none of my work, just this. Just what Jesus did. Now, if you believe that, you know, you come down here, and we open up the table, and you enjoy it. You're ready. Now, when it comes to baptism, it's the same reality. It's the first step. It's the beginning. So we can't choose, I like this commandment and I like that commandment. Following Christ is, I love my Lord Jesus and I'm going to obey. I'm going to go through with baptism and I'm going to go through with communion. Because I love him. So like I said, Sam and Ariana, Yoko and Leanne, when you receive baptism, my heart's going to be moved. Yeah, we have one Father. But just as he's cleaned up your heart, he's done mine. And it reminds me again, it's all of grace. It's all of him. So these are things we do together as a church and as a church family. Well, I think it's about ready to do some of these sacraments and not just talk about it. Okay. So if I could ask the elders to come down and help me, and we'll prepare ourselves for communion. And while you guys come down, I'm just going to say a short prayer and we'll get on with celebrating the Lord's table. Father, I just want to thank you so much for the family of God at DBICC and for those who are visiting us. From other churches, you know, we're all one faith. It doesn't matter denomination, local church membership, but what matters is faith in Jesus. Father, there might be some of my friends here, young people, old people who've not been baptized. Maybe some people are confused about, well, what about I was baptized as a baby and all that? Well, We can talk about those things with those people, but I just pray that most of all, Holy Spirit, you would work in their hearts and in my heart that we would love you and keep your commandments, including baptism and remembering you in communion. So, Lord, we want you to be honored as we keep your commandments. It's by your grace we know we're here celebrating the Lord's table and baptism. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Just a few words and we'll get started. Again, by the way, as you heard in my prayer, everyone's who has faith in Christ and Christ alone are welcome to this table. You don't have to be a member of our church. But believing in Christ alone, you can't believe in Christ and Buddha. No, Christ alone. You don't believe and trust your good works. No, it's Christ's good works, his obedient life that makes me acceptable for God. You're welcome. So in Corinthians, we are told, therefore, who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. And a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. So we like to examine ourselves here before we do this. And by that, we'll bow our head in prayer. You can close your eyes, leave them open. It doesn't matter. But in your heart, talk to God. And if there's any sin that you need to confess, do confess that. But one thing we have to be aware of that the Corinthians had a problem was, verse 29 says, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord. Well, I think that body of the Lord is this body. Recognizing the body. Okay? The believers of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. In other words, we're all saved sinners. And when I look at you, I don't say, well, I'm an American saved sinner, so I must be better than someone who's non-American. I'm a pastor. You and I are saved sinners. There were some people at Corinth who thought they were better because they were more wealthy. No. We are one family of saved sinners. So let's examine ourselves and then we'll get on with celebrating. So Holy Spirit, come now and let our hearts be honest before God. Thank you. You hear the prayers of your people, the confession of sin, and we come here remembering you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. If you're not a Christian, this might seem a little crazy, you know, what's going on here. But we're just declaring, you know, we don't trust our good works. We blow it too, right? We're not perfect people, but Jesus is perfect. And that's what we come and celebrate. His perfection is counted for us. On the night that he was betrayed, Christ took the bread and he broke it. Remember? And he said, this is my body given for you, and eat in remembrance of me. You're very hungry, aren't you? It won't be long, and you'll understand what this means, Addie, I know. And one day you'll be baptized, and you can eat this bread. So practically speaking, you know, I had a mom come up, and she said, well, can't my little kids eat it yet? And I said, no, not until I can talk to them and see if they understand what Jesus did for them on the cross. So mom and dad, hold back those hungry little fingers, all right? But it's great for them to see you eat this bread and drink from this cup and celebrate. So Christ took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body given for you. And then he took the cup in like manner. And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. My blood poured out for the remission of sins. And every time you eat and drink, do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. Remember me. Because why? We start remembering our works. Or we forget him so much that we become very, very sinful. No, we need to remember him. This is what you and I celebrate together in Christ. And you guys are going to be baptized today. I do invite you to come eat and drink with us today. Okay? Come, let's celebrate our Lord Jesus, his body given for us and his blood shed for us. Just follow the crowd. You'll see how to come down on your right and then exit on your left. Blessings on you guys. Continue to stand tall for Jesus. Okay. Heal my sister's foot.
Good.
Heal you with the Spirit, Lord.
Thank
She's
you.
Busy today.
Yes.
Blessings on you, Cecilia. Give her strength. She is tired. God, thank you so much for Leanne, your goodness to her.
This thank you.
Yeah. Bless this little mom. Blessings on you, bro. Okay. Sisters, continue strong in the Lord. Thank you so much. Father, I do thank you for all that's going on today in our hearts with Sam and Ariana. Thank you for Will. I pray for him, Lord. Touch his heart. Thank you for being with Yoko. And we're just so grateful. You are our Lord and our Savior. I love these guys. Thank you, Lord, for the Wong family. Thank you so much for it. Amen. You know, thank you, Will. Anybody can fly an airplane can fly this sound system.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Ruth. Bless her.
Thank you.
Bless Mommy Bear. Hi, Joanna. Thank you again for your hospitality last night. Blessings on you, girl.
Thank you. We still have the pink bottle. I brought it here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bonnie. Yeah, she wanted more
time. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for giving my brother some strength. Rest him up. Have a good day. Thank you, bro, for your flexibility. Appreciate you. Stand strong, you and your sisters and brother. Thank you, Cammy. Blessings on you. Welcome, friends. What's your first name?
Vivian.
Vivian, right. Co-worker, right. Okay,
yeah.
Got you, girl. Bro,
you.
Good to see you. James, blessings on you. Blessings, Rose. Nancy, you came. Did your parents come?
Yes, in the corner.
Okay, I was going to say, you can come down.
Oh.
The floor is, if you go up to the sixth floor.
Yes.
And then you can go right to the pool with a wheelchair.
Six,
yeah.
Six, well,
okay. And use this lift on this side.
On this side.
So when you exit the door, it's when you go out the door, it's just immediately on your right.
The lift on this side.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Sixth floor.
Thank you,
God. Thank you for great friends. Thank you for just blessing that little girl's fingers. Keep her healthy. Hi, good to see you. Did you bring Papa?
No.
We pray that Papa one day will love you, Lord Jesus,
okay.
Like these two.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, Mom. Blessings on you, Jeff. Thank you, bro. Joy, thank you for getting everything ready today. God's good. God's good. Thank you. Thank you, ladies, for serving. Kelsey, stand strong for the Lord. Keep going, girl. Hi, welcome. James.
Bless me, Jessica.
Jessica, good to see you, too. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Lord bless you. Renata, thank you so much for your kindness. To you know, God is good. Thank you.
See you later.
I think we're okay.
I think
there's no need to go pick up anything at 12?
No.
Okay.
I think they're going to deliver.
Okay.
Let me know.
Blessings on you, girls. Hey, good to see you with Mom. Welcome. Jeannie, blessings on you, girl. What's going on? Bonnie was telling me you had some health problem.
I'm soon now.
Yeah.
Something like asthma.
Yeah. So, Father, thank you for helping my sister. Bless her. Give her good lungs. Give her healing from allergies, asthma, whatever it is. Amen.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, welcome, James. Good to see you. Janet.
I came to appreciate the baptism of you, because she's our sister.
Well, great. Yeah, thank you for coming.
Hi,
brother. God bless you. Bless Ping and the kids. Bless this big guy's. Lord, give guidance to my brother and all that's coming up. I just pray that your blessings on this family.
Yeah.
How we doing?
Good.
Still got a cracker?
Yeah, somebody's body sacrifice for you, James. My blood of Christ that we shed for you, James.
Have you guys served?
Been served.
Yes. God, I want to thank you for these elders. And, he's good.
We'll find him.
Blessing on my co-worker. Okay, Roberto, are we going to do a song before we go up to... No, we're just going to exit from here? Okay. All right. At Poolside, we'll have a final closing song of response. And it's in your bulletin. In the bulletin, you had a blue handout, I think. Do you know what a bulletin is? Okay. Well, in that, if you didn't get one of these things, on your way out, pick one up at the welcome table. This will be the song we'll sing after the baptism. You make your way up to the sixth floor is where the pool is. And it's on this side of the building. It's all the way upstairs at the sixth floor. So let's go up. And if the lifts are available, if you need them, if you can't walk up, you can take the lift. On both sides, there's lifts. You just have to walk over from the opposite side. But it's on the sixth floor. Find the pool. Watch the crowd. You can't miss it. So we're going to walk up there. And at the pool side, we'll have a proper benediction after the baptism and a prayer for the lunch. So let's go. And we're right on schedule, actually. Let's go.